dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind. It's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark D. Valenti, and this is another episode of Brain Burrow. This is our digging deep session where we have a chance to understand more about our guests' motivation, their values, their fears, their strengths, and their opportunities. And you as the listener and viewer have a chance to think about how it applies to your life. I'm very pleased to say on the show today, we have Patrick Smith. And as always, I will open it up to Patrick by asking the big open-ended question, who exactly is Patrick Smith?
Okay, it's a loaded question. I would say Patrick Smith, I'm a filmmaker and a visual artist. I deal largely in kind of music videos and short form documentary featurette kind of work. I've worked for a lot of museums and artists in their private studio practice, kind of working on smaller video projects. And I would say I draw a lot of my influence from music video work, like the works of Spike Jones and Michelle Gondry, and to name a few. But I mean, I feel like I kind of came from that world of cinematically, and that sort of, you know, kind of bonded my destiny to filmmaking as my format, you know, of choice, sort of. And I kind of started making movies from a young age, and music videos from a young age with my friends in the neighborhood, in like third grade. I mean, my first movie is a horror movie called The Mailman. It's about a murderous mailman. And it was, yeah. So I kind of like came like you, I think, from sort of like a horror, a pop culture upbringing that sort of molded the way that I conceive of storytelling, you know? And so I think I'm very much a creature of that sort of ooze, you know? And so that's my sort of approach to filmmaking is, and or at least sort of my influence. But today I'm living in Los Angeles, and I'm working in set decoration right now. I'm working on a movie that's set in the 20s, so doing a lot of research and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get a little bit more into the craft of art direction and focusing on details on bigger projects right now. It's been really fun for me. I hope that sort of answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, it's no right or wrong answer, of course, Patrick. I think that gives us some insight into you. Let's just start actually with what you just mentioned about art direction. So why the interest in that? Why are you trying to get more into that?
Well, I feel like movies are such a mammoth, like gargantuan thing. It's, you know, we talk about auteurs, like filmmakers that are, you know, real artists, but, you know, there's always an army of people behind them, and it's departments and departments full of people and assistants. And there's so many other decisions that, like, you really have to kind of step behind the curtain and see the complexity and of like the machinations that go into creating that sort of final frame that you end up with. You know, it sort of dispels the whole myth of the genius for you. And it shows you, oh, you know, like you need to work with people, and you need to know how to work with people, and you need to know how to explain your ideas to people and be able to articulate your ideas in ways that are actionable, you know? And so that was a really powerful learning process for me, just kind of going from sort of like this sort of art and theory version of an approach to filmmaking, which is sort of like my making movies in my neighborhood still kind of, and then now seeing, you know, what it's actually going to take to make a feature film. You know, it's a lot. But again, getting into art direction and kind of getting my head into trying to wrap my head around that and seeing, okay, what is it like to work with a set decorator and a set designer and buyers that are going into prop houses, and taking all of these elements and all of these people and, you know, getting us all to look at the same thing and talk about the same thing and get excited about the same thing. So it's been fun to really learn that. And I feel like I'm getting better at that. And I feel like being in the art direction, art department kind of world is just feeding my energy for that and my appetite for that.
Yeah, well said. Thank you for sharing your journey a bit there. And I think you bring up a really good point, right? It's not somebody working in a silo. There's a lot of interactions, a lot of collaboration that goes on when you're working, well, anywhere, but also in the realm that you're talking about. So I'm wondering, what was your biggest challenge in doing that? As you talked about your journey, but also the skill set required to connect and everything else, what was your biggest challenge?
That's a good question. I guess my biggest challenge was just kind of like persistence, you know, or persisting despite there being any defined path really to take, you know, like you have to kind of sort of trust the process and just kind of trust that you're accumulating knowledge that is going to serve you eventually. You don't know how or necessarily, but as I progress, I keep saying, I feel like I'm having like Karate Kid moment all the time, where I'm like realizing all of the menial tasks that I've been doing in jobs leading up to this have kind of prepared me for what I'm doing now. So yeah, I guess the biggest challenge has just kind of been like sticking through it, through like a lot of, you know, PA jobs and like unpaid gigs and things like that, to a point where people do take me seriously now, or will, you know, take my ideas to heart, you know. So that's a good feeling to feel that kind of progress. But it's hard to stick to that when, you know, there's no defined path, like I said, you know, there's no program that is going to just place you into, you know, the position that you want to be in. You have to really carve it out for yourself.
Yeah, that was extremely well explained, Patrick. I think trusting the process is a great message there, but it's not always easy. So how do you sort of motivate yourself whenever you feel that trusting the process might be a lot of work today? Because I mean, what we're really talking about is looking down the road versus immediate gratification. So how do you sort of remind yourself of your motivation of trusting the process?
Well, I guess in order to trust the process, you have to have, I think some kind of like faith in your process, you know, and you have to believe that like what you're doing is working, it's efficacious, you know, and like, yeah. So I try to stay somewhat busy and regimented, you know. I try not to be lazy, and I sometimes am a little too hard on myself, and I work a lot. Right now I've just been working on movies through the entire pandemic. I didn't even stop working on movies, which is crazy.
Wow.
But I'm feeling that this November I kind of want to take a little vacation.
November. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's going on in November, or whatever you're allowed to share, I suppose.
Well, the movie that I'm currently working on wraps at the end of October. So I'm kind of hoping no one asked me to do anything after that, so I can just have a little bit of a break, honestly.
Ah.
But well, yeah.
That brings up a good point. We can delve into, as you said, you're hard on yourself. How do you feel about saying no to people?
It's something that I'm terrible at because I think it's important, though. I think you need to have boundaries. Otherwise, you you will drain yourself, you know, and I definitely fall victim to that sometimes. I think everybody does, especially when you're trying to break through. I think you want to promise, you know, your best all the time. And the fact of the matter is we're not machines, you know, you can't just work yourself to death, you know. And part of that, what I said earlier of like dispelling the myth of the genius for me was doing that. I realized like, I'm not a machine, you know, I can't be productive every second of the day. And I think the pandemic has really accelerated that thought in me. I've realized like, I don't need to be working every single second. Wow. And maybe that actually results in better work for me when I actually am working.
Well, that sounds like quite the evolution in your thought process there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I feel like, pre-pandemic, I think I was focused on staying busy all the time. And now I feel like, you know what, maybe it's more about quality than it is about quantity, you know, quality of life, work-life balance, and those sorts of things are important, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And I don't know if you know this, but on the show, typically I sort of invite the guests to sort of give some thoughts on maybe for other people who are watching this saying, oh, I struggle with saying no, or I struggle with work-life balance. So I'm wondering, Patrick, what is a strategy you use to say no? I know you say you struggle with saying no, but it sounds like you're also evolved in a bit that you're trying to say no and balance yourself. So I'm wondering what strategy do you use? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I guess I just am trying to listen to my intuition more about those boundaries. You know, like I always have a feeling of a twinge of anxiety when I want to say no, and maybe I'm like kind of weighing or gaming, you know, should I or not? As I'm kind of having to draw those boundaries more, I'm feeling more confident in it. And I think the more you feel confident in drawing those boundaries, just the more of yourself you can preserve to put towards the things that you care about. So I don't think it needs to be viewed as such a selfish thing or such a bad thing to say no. I think we need to normalize and destigmatize saying no. You can tell your friends you don't want to hang out. You can tell your boss you can't do that extra assignment before vacation or whatever. Because ultimately, you're not going to be on the chopping block for any of these one things in most cases. You know, a lot of these things we can afford to hedge a little bit closer to our interests in most cases, I think. So I would say follow your intuition. If you're like guessing, just say no. Draw the boundaries. Boundaries are good. Boundaries are good and healthy.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that advice. Boundaries are, and I think the other great point you brought up is it's not black and white. It doesn't mean just saying no one time is going to mean that everybody hates you. It doesn't mean that the world's going to fall apart. So I think that's great. Great point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, again, for I think people who are trying to break in, it's hard to draw those boundaries because you want to go the extra mile or you want to make a good impression. But you need to know when that's worth it or not and when you're being exploited or not.
Yeah, great point. So talk about that, about being exploited. So what made you bring that up just now?
Oh, I guess in terms of exploitation, I mean, not getting paid or people, I think sometimes young people can fall into the trap of getting paid in exposure, or doing things for free because they think, you know, it will get them notoriety or, which always is possible. But, again, it's a thing of boundaries and, creating your worth, you know? So I think that's a valuable lesson, I think, to learn as an artist or a creator, that you never have to work for free, and setting those boundaries, I think, are important, and valuing your work on some level is to yourself and to others, I think is important.
Yeah, great point about there's a sense of self-worth about cultivating that within yourself. So then you will feel more comfortable knowing when you're being exploited. I think that that's a really great point. Now,
yeah, it's just above board. Like everyone, all parties are kind of more aware of the boundaries in that case.
Good point. And I think another great point is about setting boundaries, which is, very important.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about your motivation for a minute, because you mentioned, of course, the horror movie connection there. And that was the Mailman, of course, being your first endeavor into that. Why horror? What's your motivation there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think horror movies have always been a fascination of mine, just because I loved the way that they can make people squirm, like in the room, watching horror movies and being in the theater. I always was so, I just loved how the reactions it would draw out of people. I loved seeing people get scared. I loved to be scared. And I just thought, wow, like this form, this, you know, movies can elicit this reaction out of people. And I just kind of was really wowed by that from a really young age. And I think horror also has a humor to it. And especially the depiction of it can have a humor to it, or it has that double edge to it, you know? And I think that duality, I identified with, but also just I love to play with. And I think something in a lot of my work, I always like to subvert genres, and I love sort of like subverting imagery and expectations. And I think horror constantly does that. It's always like subverting, perverting, or changing like our expectations of reality. And it's, I think I enjoy that.
Interesting. Well, it seems like you have a pretty good bearing as to why you like horror. And I think that's a great connection to wanting to subvert. So then I guess the next question is, why is that something that you enjoy so much?
Well, I'm gay, and I think subversion is like a very queer thing, you know. It's very literally a queering of things, you know. Mm-hmm. Subverting something is making it queer, you know. And I think that's just sort of in my DNA, you know. I think like I want to turn things on their head just to make people question them, you know, because I think people sort of just fall into groupthink, you know, and people don't really break things apart for themselves. And I guess that's kind of why I like to subvert things, because I like to make people think, and I like to make people reconsider things. And horror, and again, music video, just because like it draws so heavily from, you know, pop culture iconography and imagery, and, you know, film imagery, I think also is part of that.
Yeah. Thank you for digging a little bit deeper there and kind of answering my questions about your motivation, because it's fascinating. And it seems like, you know, you're drawn to it. You're constantly improving the way that you're, you know, showing yourself creatively as well. And it's very interesting to hear. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Thank you.
Sure. So I'm wondering then, as you think about motivation, you know, obviously it makes sense that how much, you know, wanting to express yourself creatively is there. I'm wondering day to day, what gets you up in the morning? What's your drive?
That's interesting. I guess my drive is to just sort of make cool things, honestly. Like, it's very simple, but I kind of just want to make, I would like to just produce things that I like, that I enjoy, you know, and that I can share that enjoyment with other people and feel a connection through that. That's kind of what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that was a great answer, actually, because, you know, as with most human beings, Patrick Smith is very complex. There's multiple different things that drive you. You're subverting in some areas, but you're also looking at other areas of connecting to people. So let's talk about that. Yeah. So why is that so important to you, Patrick, about that connection and sharing that experience with other people?
I guess because I think we all want to like have some of our truth reflected back at us or validated, right? You know, and I, not that I want to tell my own truths in my films, but I think a shared experience that we can both look at something and be like, that was good, or that was really fucked up, or like that was just bonkers, you know. Like, I think that kind of connection is a really present, energetic connection that you can have with anyone, you know, and that's something special to me. I feel like I guess I'm a nerd, but those kinds of connections kind of get me excited. Like, getting excited about a scene or a movie or a story, just any kind of story, and storytelling, that's what excites me.
Yeah, that's it's clear. It's clear, you know, it comes out in the way you're expressing yourself on that, how excited that it does make you. And I guess, you know, given everything with the pandemic, and you mentioned, of course, how that impacted you and the way you look at work, given that you value that connectedness, how did the pandemic and isolation impact you when it comes to connecting to people? Because it's clearly important to you.
Terribly. I think I think it was just like it was not a very fertile creating period for me, actually. I think it was for a lot of people, but it was not for me. And I feel like I'm now kind of breaking out of that. As my fear and anxiety about the state of the world has receded, I'm like, my creative juices are thawing, and I feel like I'm sort of like getting a second wind again. But the pandemic, I'm sorry. Can you remind me that your question
again?
That's
okay. Just because you value connectedness to people, I just didn't know how the pandemic impacted your ability to connect to people, or how you felt about that change.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I was connecting with people, but in a very different way, obviously, because it was just kind of more on like a survival basis. You know, I wasn't, you know, the connection definitely suffered, and obviously I wasn't creating, so even more so. So like, yeah, it was tough. It definitely suffered.
Yeah, I imagine it would, especially again, given the value that you put on that connection. So,
right. And it's just so hard to make movies and during COVID. I mean, people still have, but, you know, especially for independent filmmakers, it's a lot harder. You know, you can't have like a COVID testing is really expensive. I think it costs like $150 per person per day or something. And yeah, they have whole departments devoted to monitoring. You know, they poke you with a stick and you gotta be 6 feet away and you gotta have your mask on. And it's good. It's great. It's like, you know, how the industry kept running, but, yeah, wouldn't have felt safe doing an indie film out of the back of my car with a few friends during that time. But maybe now I would.
Hmm. Yeah, great point about that, about the impact on the industry, especially when the budget is not there anyway, let alone to have the safety officer or whatever it is on set. So thank you. Now, I know this may sound like a job interview question, which it's not, of course, but I'm wondering where do you see yourself a few years down the line? I mean, where are you headed with your creative work and everything you're doing?
I guess I just hope to have more projects under my belt. I'm working on a documentary right now, with a musician that I'm sort of working with, and I hope to have that completed. And hopefully in 5 years, I would like to have a feature film made or a short film made, something of my that I directed, but other than that, I hope to just kind of keep working on other movies and collaborating with people and just keep learning. And if I keep doing that, I think I'll be happy in 5 years. I think I just want to keep learning and getting better. So,
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with continuously improving, that's for sure. So,
right. I don't know if it's possible, but that's the aspiration.
I think that's a fair goal. I mean, I think it's people say even in failures, right? There's something you learn from it and it keeps you moving forward. And I wonder though, as you talked before about the art of saying no, and there's a book which I've referenced on the show before called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And it's basically saying, okay, how do you have a goal in mind? And how do you make sure you're always focused on that goal as opposed to being pulled in all sorts of different ways? The ability to say no is an important part of it, right? Because if you're saying yes all the time, then your energy is everywhere. You never reach the goal. But another important part of it is being able to make choices which drive you toward that goal. So you talk about different projects. How do you determine if it's a project that is guiding you toward that goal?
It's really tough. Like it's like a lot of, I look at it as like fate, kind of like, a lot of it just kind of happens. And a lot of it is sort of my choosing, but a lot of it's like time, fate, magic. I don't know. Sometimes they sort of just align themselves, but I definitely do have a discerning eye for like what I would like to do and people that I would like to collaborate with and what I think makes sense. And I have a certain aesthetic that I like, and so I guess choosing projects for me, it has to kind of align with, it has to excite me, that it has to feel fun to me. I feel like I sort of can't work on something when it's starts to feel like work. And that's, I know that sounds like diva, but I just mean in a very like intuitive way that like if something starts to bore me, I know that it's not working and I know that it's not going to play well. So I try to just kind of have like a very gut level reaction to when someone offers to collaborate on something, but more often than not, I seek out collaborations with people. And that has kind of been my most fruitful attempt at doing projects, because I'm like, hey, I want to make a video with you, and or I want to do a project. And so that's usually how it works out.
Well, and that's a great connection back to what you said earlier too about, you're not working in a silo or always collaborating, you're on set, you're in all these different areas, and it seems like collaboration is also a strength in moving forward as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. So we are actually about out of time, Patrick. So I wonder if there's any, in question I like to ask sometimes is, what do you want people to walk away with thinking about Patrick Smith if they were to view this video or listen here? What do you want people to walk away with thinking about you or knowing about you after listening to this?
Well, I would say you can check out some of my work at on my Vimeo. It's vimeo.com/Patrick JF Smith. So you can check out my music videos and stuff and see if you like them. But I would say, I would like people to walk away with this, with the idea of maybe trying to subvert their ideas of filmmaking and their process a little bit more, and try to kind of subvert the tropes and expectations in their work. Try to question it. I try to think of the creative process as almost like a, like, alchemical, like scientific magic process, you know, and you can sort of change these different variables at different intervals and just see what happens, you know? And so I think subverting the rules is always good. It can only ever lead to fun and new horizons, you know? So I think just change things up, subvert things.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to end the discussion today. Really appreciate you coming on, Patrick, and sharing your thoughts and perspective on things. Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I, of course, want to thank the listeners and viewers out there for tuning in to Brain Burrow today. And on behalf of Patrick Smith, this is Mark D. Valenti. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Bye, everybody.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.